Financial Matters.
Mduduzi Luthuli is my guest, investment manager at Luthuli Capital. Mduduzi, good evening to you. Are you well, my brother?
I'm good, Aubrey. How are you doing?
Good stuff. I know you've got little children.
Yeah.
How do you respond?
Sure. I don't even know.
At first glance, you look at that question and you think, it's non-consequential. But then you realize that wait a second, this is a big moment. This is a big moment a big moment for the calibrating of a young mind in a positive, but factual and truthful way. You know. So I'm really grappling with this question quite deeply at the moment, because I think that she requires a very, very well-informed answer that is going to help her find her place in the world in as effective in an effective way as possible. You know what I mean?
I think for me, I just first try and understand where is the question coming from. Yeah. Just get context, you know. So. Yeah. You know, ask why you're asking me that question and really try to understand what does my child know thus far? What is the picture in their head? And then from there, I can sort
curate
of start
and work on
directing him or her. You know, I mean, before I put my kids to bed, I always read them a story. Maybe one of the days try and incorporate. I'm sure there's literature out there about this specifically, and for kids, or at least I'd hope so.
Yeah.
You know, try not to make it so intimidating. It's a very serious topic.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to put them off. It's something you want to address head on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got to tell you that I haven't answered the question yet. I said I'm gonna tell you what I believe and what I believe the truth is. Let me just think about it. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna throw this out as a question on 702 and Cape Talk. And hear how parents of people who are previously disenfranchised would respond to this question. But more, and perhaps as important, is the question of inheritance. The answers we give our children as to their past and the questions that they have about their identity and where they're going is as important as an inheritance. So the question is, how much do you leave your children as an inheritance? Why did you want to talk about that issue, and where does it take us?
Yeah, you know, last week I had a very interesting consultation, actually a few consultations with a very wealthy couple. They wanted to speak with me about their estate planning. More specifically, they wanted to speak about what happens should they pass away, you know, who gets what in terms of their kids and how to divide their estate. So just for some context, the husband actually comes from money. So he grew up wealthy. He grew up very privileged and wealthy, while his wife, on the other hand, came from a much more impoverished background. So these are two people who love each other, but who come from very different households and thus have very, very different outlooks regarding what money is and how to use it. They met as young adults back in the day at university, fell in love, got married, and have been raising their family together for the past 38 years. And now they're approaching retirement age and have begun that serious conversation about what to do with their sizable estate, especially what should happen if one or both of them should pass away. And our conversation that day for me was really eye-opening and really revealed for them an enormous disparity between their views of wealth, well-being and legacy, and largely informed because of how they grew up, you know. The husband having been raised in the, I can say, the gilded halls of high society, he felt very strongly that privilege had actually stunted him. He actually resented his wealth on some level. He said to me it stunted his personal growth, and he believed that his personal maturity was hindered by the fact that he didn't have to actually work for most of what he got in his life. He didn't have to work his way up, unlike his less fortunate peers that his wife had to do. And he was reluctant to place the same burden, his words, the same burden of unearned wealth on his children. Mm. The wife, on the other hand, she comes from a very impoverished background. She felt that his stance signaled stinginess or greed, even a lack of love and concern for their children. She was very angry, and the emotions she carried about her own past run very deep. And she had been brought up in poverty, and she wanted her children to have no part of that painful upbringing. She even told me that she's worked very hard to ensure that her children don't even know about her past and what she went through. And she can't even imagine a situation where her children should want for anything. And she's worked very hard throughout her adult life to ensure that that never happens, that her children never want for anything. And to her, it's unacceptable to even consider the option of not leaving their entire estate, their entire wealth to their children, because she feels that the wealth is earned. The wealth is her children's birthright. And that's how they earned it, by blood. You know, she says they earned it the day they were born through blood ties. And so when the husband began discussing the idea of possibly placing a cap on how much each child would inherit, she wouldn't have it. And thus they came to me to try and mediate the situation. And for me, when I look at the situation, you know, to say who's wrong, who's right, if there's even such a thing, it all depends on your personal upbringing, your values, your own money story. You might think she's being silly, or you might think she's rightfully concerned for her children's well-being. But I've watched the scenario play out many times in different families with different across different economic levels. And what's come through for me is that it's not really about the amount of money. Of course, the amount of money is important, but it's not really about the amount of money that we are talking about that makes the difference here. When we speak about stewarding our resources, passing on our resources to the next generation, it's how you view the role of money in your life and that of your children's lives that counts. Because is money simply a tool that enables behavior, or is money a physical representation of our personal wealth? So I had an interesting conversation with this couple, and with their permission, I thought I'd love to take this on air. And thought it would be certainly an intriguing topic for tonight. Yeah.
Intriguing indeed, Mdu. And let's ask you that question on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. What are your thoughts on inheritance for your children? What are the doctrines that you apply for whatever position you hold? Give me a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Interesting for me, Mdu, as you speak about the intrigue of the subject, is the fact that, you know, our realities are very subjective. Our experiences, our interpretations of those experiences are very, very subjective. I, as somebody who doesn't come from a very, very rich background, would probably feel that the reasoning behind the husband, who does come from a very, very wealthy background, is absurd. But the fact of the matter is that was his reality, wasn't it? I mean, that was how he experienced wealth that he never had to work for. He did feel that it stunted his own internal growth. And for somebody that had a slightly more impoverished background, indeed, most of us don't want our children to go through what we've gone through, and so we want to give them everything. But perhaps the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Definitely, the truth lies in the gray area. It's never black and white. And when we ask the question, when is enough too much? The answer to that is purely subjective, based on your own background, your own lived experience, your own values, your own money story, what's going on in your head. You know, I said to them, look, there is a point when inheriting great amounts of wealth will do your children more harm than good. Yeah. But as parents, it's difficult to talk about when that point is. Firstly, because the question of enough, like I said, is purely subjective, based on our values, internal narrative, and all those things, where we come from. And secondly, because our instinct to give our children all that we have, it's strong, it's very noble, you know, it's innate in us. There are also times we simply don't even know what questions to ask, but the desire to bless our children, if I can put it that way, it's God-given, it's hardwired into the very fabric of who we are as human beings, as parents. And without careful thought, love can become overindulgence when you're trying to overcompensate for your own past. There is a point where love can become overindulgence and thus cause more harm than good. There's a point where passing down wealth can cause irreparable damage to your children's lives.
Yeah.
So when we speak about estate planning, yes, it's about the numbers and proper vehicles to use to avoid tax and all those things. But again, it comes down to the human side of it, the psychological side of it. When we talk about estate planning, we need to understand that there's a lot more at stake than just money. It's not just about the money. It's about our children and our children's children. It's about the legacy we're trying to leave. So who do we want our children to be, and how can we help them become better people? How can we help them actually use this money for their own advantage? How can their lives and how they live those lives become the foundation of our legacy? Because that's what we're trying to do. Our children become our legacy, and we want to give them this money to help that legacy flourish. We all want the best for our children, and so we work hard to leave them an inheritance that will help them live the best life possible. It's natural for parents to want to give to their children, but there is a hidden dark side to wealth. So what is this?
O-double-1, 883-0702-021-446-0567. Those of you who have experience with wealth, give us a call and let us know about this dark side to wealth that many of us who perhaps don't come from that kind of background are completely blindsided to. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. And you may have witnessed, as I have, as many people have witnessed, how in some instances people who do come from wealth have really been underwhelming in their growth, in their ability to achieve their own personal goals in life. And could that be part of the dark side of wealth? I'm talking to Mduduzi Luthuli about that. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. You were saying?
Yeah, so there is a hidden or dark side to wealth because... And I feel that most people, we all want wealth because for a lot of us, money solves a lot of our problems, right? But most people don't know how dangerous money is or can be, or worse, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to acknowledge that there is this other side.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is the truth is wealth has been a menace that has ruined many lives and destroyed many families. There's lots of evidence out there. Wealth serves only as a tool if we have been prepared and taught how to use it. We all, that's the only time wealth is actually a tool for your benefit, if you have been prepared and have been taught how to use it. We all know that one family that succeeded in creating wealth, but when the parents passed away, that same wealth became the very thing that destroyed the next generation's lives. Not because money is evil. No, it's because vast wealth in the wrong hands becomes a weapon as opposed to a tool.
I want to stop you there, Mdude, because I want to take a quick break. We've got quite a few breaks in this hour, and I do want to pay the rent. It's a good thing, by the way. It's a good thing to have adverts. Mduduzi Luthuli is my guest investment manager at Luthuli Capital. I want to get your thoughts about inheritance for your children, financial inheritance for your children. But, of course, you understand, even the knowledge that you hand over to your children, the teachings that you give your children, can be very, very important. Whether or not your child still understands themselves as a slave or not could also be very important, yeah? Let's take a break.
Financial matters.
My apologies for jumping in there, but you were finishing that thought. Please do, and I see we've got lots of calls coming through. The question is, how much inheritance should parents leave for their children?
So the point I was trying to make, talking about the dark side of wealth, is not to say that money is evil, not to say that people shouldn't try and make wealth, make as much money as you can. But the point I was making is that money, especially wealth in the wrong hand, becomes a weapon as opposed to a tool. So for me, what I said to these parents is that when we're asking how much should I leave to my children as an inheritance, first ask how much are they capable of wielding. That's what you should be asking, not what is the rand amount, but what is actually, how much are they capable of wielding? What is their capacity to create and manage wealth? Because anything more than what they're capable of dealing with then becomes a hindrance as opposed to an enabler in their life. And when you say that you love them, you say that you want to give them the world, I asked them, have you prepared them for the burden of that inheritance, if you're calling it a burden? Can your children shoulder the weight of the world that you want to give them? There's a vast amount of evidence out there of how unearned instant wealth can destroy your life. There's lots of stories about lottery winners going bankrupt or being worse off after winning the lotto. There's shows like our Blewett, who provide countless warnings on the danger of instant unearned wealth. It's a story as old as time. It's even in the Bible, the story of King David's family. That's a very poignant example of the potential destruction of vast amounts of unearned wealth, where David was a nobody, a mere shepherd boy walking his herd through the Judean hills, and through God's grace and immense amount of hard work and risk, he amassed great wealth and became the king of Israel. His son Solomon inherited the lion's share of his father's wealth. He grew that wealth to a point where silver was as common in Jerusalem as stones. And then after Solomon, the Davidic inheritance fell to Rehoboam, you know, who not only lost the bulk of the wealth, but he also lost the kingdom. So you went from shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, not to mention the great tragedy and violence that befell that kingdom. So this is a story as old as time. When we are asking ourselves how much is too much, first ask ourselves, how much are my children capable of managing? What have I done to prepare them for this world that I want to give them? The answer is not a number. It is, what is their capacity? What is their experience and literacy with wealth? And if the answer is none or very little, then your gift of wealth most likely will be the very thing that brings them misery.
Take some calls. Anonymous is in Pretoria. Hi, Anonymous. How much do you leave as an inheritance for your children?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Anonymous.
I'm not really leaving an inheritance. I'd rather talk about I inherited a property from my parents. Yeah. And I have to say that had I not been taught certain values and certain upbringing, it would have been a rather tragic case, because all of this happened overnight. Suddenly inherited about 3 properties from my parents and my brother as well. And I one thing I do have to say is that the material value of what you get is great, but the values and the upbringing, really, that's what I really value most. Because had I not, you know, ended up selling things, having parties and all of that, but rather I think the focus has been more on just trying keeping things the same and not making any drastic changes overnight. Also making sure that people don't know that you've inherited all of this and living a normal life without friends or people saying, now you've got a good life overnight.
Anonymous, thanks very much for those sage words. Everything going well, though, yeah?
Yes.
So far.
I have to admit, though, a few years later, it's been like 3 years later, I've reached a point where I'm making considerably more money. Mm-hmm. And this is now just my own personal life, work and business and things like that. And again, the values that I was taught prior to my parents passing away really is keeping me in a good space.
Anonymous
and
Victoria,
making the right decisions.
Much appreciated, sir. Thank you so much. Farai, very, very, very important observation here. Says, Aubrey, isn't it interesting how what Mduduzi mentioned about this client of his who felt that his inherited wealth stunted his own development ties in very neatly with what Stanley Beckett was saying last week about hardship being necessary for the development of grit for most people, which then propels success. Amazing, says Farai. Absolutely, Farai. The synchronicity here is just amazing for me, absolutely. I am going to ask the question as to whether or not it's hardship that we need or the lessons of hardship. Because if hardship is experienced, but we don't learn what that hardship is trying to teach us, we can have all of the hardship in the world and still not have the understanding that's required to be able to handle the wealth when we receive it as a result of an inheritance. Theo is in Centurion. Hi, Theo.
Hi, Aubrey and Pogiso. Interesting topic. Thanks a lot for the topic.
Sure. Go ahead, Theo.
Honestly speaking, this is something that has been in my mind. I'm a business owner, and one of the things I've actually picked up is how do you obviously transfer wealth into our kids. And when you look at different moments, because remember, one of the things that we fight for is for us to deal with the hardship of now. But in turn, it actually creates better times for them. Now, what I've actually picked up is that it's very hard to almost simulate for them hardship when you've actually taken it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find it very, very interesting is in moments where you are given an opportunity to actually like try and instill certain values, you realize that the kids are occupied so much about obviously some of the teachers that you give to them now, to a point that they are distracted from obviously grabbing some of this knowledge because they feel like they have it all. So that's why to some degree I agree with Poriso when he says that it almost becomes an element where when you need to measure how much you need to give away right at the end or when you're supposed to give your this thing, you almost like need to create moments where you keep on measuring it. I doubt if we ever come to obviously that understanding to say that yes, I've got it right.
Yeah.
To say I know for a fact I need to give my kids so much.
Yeah.
But to some degree you do feel that it can be very harmful to them if you're not actually like very cautious about it. So I do agree it's quite a very tricky subject.
Yeah, absolutely. Theo, thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated. Tumsani is in Midrand. Hi Tumsani.
Hi guys, how are you?
Very good, thanks, Tumsani. Your thoughts, man?
Yes. You know my grandmother always said if you are a successor to anything legitimate, you don't only succeed to assets, but also liabilities.
Mm.
You know, yes, with our community, you know, if you get wealth, you don't only get it, you also get the burden that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You inherit people.
Mm-hmm.
You inherit feelings
mm-hmm.
that you have nothing to do about. You inherit beef that we're never involved in. You
yes.
inherit everything. So this wealth becomes a burden. You have people who do not like you genuinely, and you know that they don't like you, but you have to live with them and be part of your life and their life simply because you inherited this wealth.
Indeed.
So to me, it was simply a curse than a blessing because the people end up taking and taking even more than what you inherited and the wealth, it just becomes a burden and too much because the burden you inherit physically, emotionally, it does a lot of damage no matter the digits in the bank account.
Mm.
But it really does become a big problem and one that you are not prepared for.
Yeah, yeah.
In some instances, yes, one that you are not prepared for and some truths which were never told to you.
Sure.
So then it becomes a huge burden.
I think the danger, if I understand you well, Dumsani, is to present wealth only in its glorious state and not present the reality of the downside, the dark side of wealth, which is what Ndutuzi is talking about, which can be dangerous for the inheritor, right?
Very dangerous. Some people are driven to suicide. Some they run away. Some break down. Some resort to drugs because they were not prepared. So if anyone knows that this is what I'm going to live for my children, for my family, or for whoever, I think it's better to prepare them, as you are saying. Also prepare them for the liabilities. Every asset comes with a liability. There's a downside somewhere. Prepare them for that. Just not, you know, the glorious life. We live a good life, but show us the reality as parents, as family, or whoever, that, you know, behind this, there's that suffering.
Mm.
So you need to prepare the people for that suffering. You need to prepare people when siblings fight one another, because someone will spend wisely, someone will not. So they will believe that so-and-so got more than us. Just teach them and prepare them.
I hear you.
Because really, it's too much. It becomes too much for some people.
Tumsani, thanks very much for a great call. Do the dark side of wealth. Many people who are recipients, even in these calls that we've had, recipients of such inheritance, echoing the, I suppose, sentiments of the husband who grew up in a well-to-do family. I'm a little concerned, just a little bit concerned, and I'm hoping that you'll help me with this, with the idea that we need hardship, yeah, as a teacher of the values that are required to be able to handle the wealth that we receive as a result of inheritance. And let me qualify my question. I understand that hardship has a way of teaching us certain lessons if we are open to those lessons. Right. I'm just not sure whether it follows that you need hardship to get those lessons. I am almost more willing to believe that those lessons can be taught without you having to have suffered in the same way that the parent, the giver of the inheritance did. I believe that you can learn those lessons without having had to go through the hardships that that person. Otherwise, we might be giving the impression that part of the inheritance is the hardship that, you know, we all have to go into serfdom in order for us to appreciate wealth. Is it possible to learn the values that maintain the attainance of wealth through inheritance without having to go through the same difficulties? Is it possible?
It is possible, because if you look at families we deem as old money, you can't possibly argue that the generations that come four or five generations down, where they're born into vast wealth, struggle in the same way as the initial person who had to create the wealth.
Yeah.
It's more about the lessons of the hardship than actually going through some sort of physical or emotional hardship. I would replace the word hardship with purpose, and it's a conversation we've had before, where I make the point that vast amounts of wealth in the wrong hands, instead of it becoming a tool, it becomes a weapon, because it ceases to have purpose. And that's what you're going to talk about, building capacity in your kids. One of the lessons you need to teach them is the purpose of this tool. Because when you teach them the purpose of this tool, they're able to view it as a tool, and then are also able to step away from tying their personal wealth to this money and make less emotional decisions. And that is the success of old money families, is being able to, going from one generation to the other, being able to teach the lessons of hardship, which can be distilled in one word, which is purpose. There's a purpose to this. And if you want the next generation to be good stewards of the family resources, you have to teach them, give them the capacity to find what is their purpose, and help them make sure that that purpose aligns with the family values, so that they do not mishandle that wealth. And I think another part that some of the callers mentioned is greater society. The other part of this equation is society. And what I mean by that is that if you don't teach your children how to manage money, if you don't build their capacity to inherit your wealth, know that it's unlikely that those around them will do so when you're gone. Society feels very little sorrow for rich people who misuse their resources. You need to be aware of that. It's very difficult to feel sorry for the rich, which is in itself a problem for most of them. So it's imperative that you prepare your children accordingly, or accept that their failure to manage their inheritance is as much yours as it is theirs. Mm. And most wealthy people that I've come across describe becoming wealthy as a very lonely achievement. Most people, because they say, you know, most people will envy you or despise you for having wealth. The rest just want to use you, and only a handful genuinely care about your well-being. So wealthy people know that others, society, have no sympathy for them and no understanding of the situation they're in, because how can you feel pity for someone who seems to have it all, has all this wealth? So wealthy people know that there's no point going around whining and expecting people to feel sorry for you. But there are serious challenges that come from inheriting vast amount of wealth, a vast fortune, particularly at a young age. Because for all of us, our 20s and 30s are the building years. Mm. It's when we're meant to go out into the world and figure out who we are, what we'd like to do, and what gives our life meaning. And having a tremendous amount of financial wealth come into your life at that point really messes messes with your personal motivation and messes you up in terms of developing genuine relationships, because suddenly the question becomes, what do I need to do to manage this world, to be a custodian of this world, instead of how do I identify and clarify who I really am? How do I find myself? And then you also find yourself asking people's motivation to be around you become questionable, you become distrusting, and you become isolated. Are these people attracted to me or my wealth? And yes, these are definitely first world problems that we all wish we had, but it certainly has, it certainly messes with the psychological development of that young adult, having a vast amount of wealth given to you at a young age when you're trying to find out who you are and who genuinely cares for you. Yeah.
Let's take a call from Hector in Radio Corp. Hi, Hector.
Hi, Aubrey. How are you, man?
Very well, thanks, Hector. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, great topic. Aubrey, I just have one question. My first comment is going to be saying, well done with your speaker. I always listen to your program almost every night.
Much appreciated.
With dedication.
Thank you, sir.
So I love it. First time that I'm commenting.
Much appreciated.
We are talking a great deal about the menacing aspect of wealth. And I think the point that he's making is when you leave wealth to your children and you have not giving them or training them to have the capacity to manage that. I think that's an excellent point.
Mm.
Well, I have a question, and the question is, have somebody ever given a great deal of thought to the menacing aspect of poverty?
Mm.
All right? Because I think we talk a great deal about how bad wealth can be, but is there a great deal of discussion or research that has gone into how bad poverty can be? I am very much into boxing, and I Google a lot about the net worth of boxers.
Mm.
One of the boxers that I've been following a great deal is Evander Holyfield, who must have made over $100 million throughout his fighting career.
Mm.
When you go and Google him now, he does not have more than $1 million net worth. Right? And therefore, something must have gone wrong, because it would appear, and he's right, he did not have the ability to handle wealth.
Yeah.
But it is not about that. Maybe it is actually about that the most of us who continue to be poor, we are not able to get out of the poverty mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can we get out of that?
Mm-hmm.
Where somebody is able to amass wealth, they are not able to leave anything to their kids. So I am arguing that it would appear that when you are poor, there is also a menacing aspect of being poor.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind at all, Hector. But let's leave that answer to Duduzi. But no doubt at all in my mind, your understanding that it's a way of thinking about your realities that is to blame for poverty. In many, many instances. Look, there are historic issues. There are systemic and systematic issues that we could talk about. But generally speaking, and in your example about Evander Holyfield, and I know the story because I follow boxing too, it's sometimes the way that we interpret our realities that sets us up for either growing our wealth or losing it. But let's hear what Nduduzi has to say about that. Hector, thank you very much for your call. Sillo is in Johannesburg. Hi, Sillo.
Hi, Aubrey. My comment is with regards to example of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Where Muhammad Ali actually was a great boxer and didn't confine to certain systematic decisions that happened, and was quite a successful, very successful at the time.
Yeah.
And he had the system obviously put him in a place of compromise. But then, you know, in those situations, you still find that there's boxers that actually saw what was happening.
Yeah.
Although they couldn't really really directly challenge the system.
Mm.
And also, as you say, hierarchy and of politics. However, he managed to they managed to support him through this in a quiet way, where they funded him as well and fed him his family and etc.
Yeah.
However, the time that was taken from him could not be replaced, and in a sense, most probably pushed him to the point where he actually got the you know, he passed away with that multiple sclerosis disease. Those are the things that also come in, and it features in the sense that you could say that, well, maybe he wasn't ready to have all that wealth or all the success, and that's why we wanted to show him that he needs to, you know, walk the footsteps of others that have that have suffered. Maybe there's somebody thought that his wealth had come too quickly. And that could have been, it was probably most that played a part in his detriment, his health. Although he was a hero, but his health and his family felt that, you know what I mean.
Salo, thanks very much for your call, man. Much appreciated. Ndu, your responses to some of the questions that we've had in the next minute.
Sure, I think to the first caller, I'll say to them, just go try find the two episodes we did last year, if I'm not mistaken, on social signaling, because that's where we really discussed in depth about the scars of coming from poverty and how we try by a separate identity when we come from poverty, when we actually get money, and that in, and that sends us back in, into poverty. And then just closing remarks as I see the time. I say to people, we need to be just aware of that other dark side of wealth. Yes, we all want wealth, but it does come with a burden. And it's no wonder that if you look at the top 1%, people like Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, who have decided to give away 99% of their fortune. People like Warren Buffett, who also made the decision to give away 90% of his wealth. You have Bill Gates, who says he'll cap for each of his children, he'll only give them $10 million each. Of a $76 billion fortune. If the top 1% are considering such drastic measures to protect their children from their wealth, shouldn't we also be giving it a thought? We might not be on the same financial scale as them, but we should still acknowledge that wealth can ruin our children if they aren't prepared for it, or if they feel it wasn't earned. I'm not asking us to feel sorry for the wealthy. I'm asking that we understand the burden of wealth, if that is what you desire.
It is literally always, always great talking to you. How do we follow you?
Sure, they can go to our website, litulicapital.com. It's got our full contact details. So just look for Lituli Capital on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Or they can follow me directly on Twitter at Trust Fund Zulu.